This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I recited to you Surah Ali Imran, the verses that were revealed after the incident of Uhud. If you remember the incident of Uhud, it was one of the most demoralizing episodes in the entirety of the seerah. The Sahaba literally felt down, as we would say in English. They really felt overwhelmed. Because as you know, in the Battle of Uhud, they saw victory. And then the tables turned. 70 shuhada, including, who is the most famous shaheed of Uhud? Hamza, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verses. And we're going to look at these verses, obviously, in light of the situation, obviously, in Gaza, because really we have to continue mentioning and thinking about this reality. And so we're going to look at the reality of these verses in light of what is happening right now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after this, now here's a point here. Should we call it a defeat or not? I went into a lot of detail in my seerah, and I concluded it's not a defeat, but it's not a victory. The Muslims didn't lose, but they didn't win either. It was a bit of a stalemate. But what made it bitter was they were so close to victory. So we should not say Uhud was a defeat. It wasn't a defeat, because in the end of the day, the Quraysh had to go back. And when you're a victor, then you stay where you are. The Quraysh had to retreat back to Mecca. So it is not a defeat for the Muslims. We should not say this, but we can factually say it was not a victory. And it was a setback. It was an emotional setback. So we're not going to say it's a defeat. But no doubt, Allah Azza wa Jalla then revealed verses to cheer them up. So these verses are very relevant to what is happening right now. Because I am seeing amongst our own youth and all of us, we feel a sense of despair. You know, a sense of exasperation, a sense of frustration. So when we look at these verses, Allah Azza wa Jalla says to the Muslims, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Don't feel weak and don't give up. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ. And you shall be victorious in kuntum mu'mineen, if you have iman. Don't be weak. Don't give up. Don't despair. Your morale should be high even after Uhud. Regardless of what happens externally, internally, your iman has to be optimistic. This is what Allah is saying. No matter what the situation is, your hearts must always have the best, and you should never give up, and you should never allow despair to overtake you. وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. And then Allah gives a statement of fact. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ. You shall be the upper hand. You shall be victorious with one condition. إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Then Allah says, إِن يَمْسَسْكُمْ قَرْحٌ فَقَدَ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْحٌ مِثْلُهُ. If you have had loss and setbacks, if you have had disasters, well then, the others have also had disasters. It's not as if, you know, that they are not also, casualties are not there for the Quraysh. If you have had casualties, if you have setbacks, they too have setbacks. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. And these are the days we rotated amongst the people. Some days you will have the upper hand, other days they will have the upper hand. Allah is explicitly saying the victory in this dunya is independent of the victory of the akhirah. Allah is explicitly saying, if you lose a battle, don't worry, you will always win the long-term war. This is explicit in the Quran. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ. So I wanted to pause here and look at this conflict of Gaza and mention some of the positives that we see around the world. Now, this is a controversial topic because obviously I am not stating that, you know, the loss is in vain. I'm not trying to justify the losses. 10,000 people have died, subhanAllah. So when I say this, it's not as if we're saying, oh, okay, it was worth that. La, we're not talking, there's no comparison. But I'm trying to say, yes, there is a setback. Yes, there is tragedy. But if you look at the other side, you look at what is happening, wallahi, there's so many positives happening here. There's so much positives that you can go on and on. So, of the positives, the first positive that we have here, is that, subhanAllah, we see the iman of the people of Gaza. We see the reality of what faith does to a believer. SubhanAllah, in our lives, we have never seen a group of people demonstrating the reality of sabr and tawakkul and yaqeen, demonstrating their trust in Allah, their resigning their faith to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even non-Muslims are amazed, shocked, impressed. People are converting to Islam. In our own masjid, you saw the shahada. I was in Detroit last week on Jumu'ah. We had not one, not two, three shahadas. They came and I gave shahada to three people in Detroit because, again, they're attending the protest. They're seeing what's happening. And the sight of fathers and mothers losing their children, the sight of a lady becoming a widow, and she says, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. The sight of a father losing four children, and he's smiling and saying, Inshallah, Allah will reunite me with them in the akhirah. That level of iman, that level of courage, of bravery, we have never seen it in our lifetimes. If that is not inspiring, then what is going to be inspiring? This is a positive that with iman, you can keep your sanity. With iman, you can keep your dignity. We see the fruits of iman in real life. Of the positives as well. Of the positives as well for all of us, especially for our youth, our younger generation, is that sometimes they have these idealistic notions of humanity. But we see here how easy it is for large groups of people to be brainwashed. You know, when we read the seerah, we wonder, how could the Quraysh not embrace Islam? How could they not see the Prophet's truth and embrace Islam? When we read the hadith about the signs of the Day of Judgment, how can millions of people follow the Dajjal? He's clearly the most evil person on earth. How can he have tens of thousands of followers? Well, guess what? We don't need to wait for the Dajjal. We don't need to imagine what would the seerah be like. We see over here how clearly the oppressor has brainwashed tens of millions of people to think the oppressor is in fact the oppressed. To think the greatest zalim is in fact the subject of injustice. The narrative they are spinning is that we are forced to kill these children. Subhanallah. And people are buying it. Our own politicians are buying it. A ceasefire would benefit this terrorist group, they say. La hawla wa quwwata illa billah. You want to see how followers are going to follow Dajjal? You want to see how Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab and others rejected Islam? You see in reality in front of you. The level of sheer hatred, the level of the ease of brainwashing, it is something that we thank Allah we have been given hikmah and iman. We thank Allah we can separate the khabith from the tayyib, or else look at how many people are brainwashed. So this is a benefit and a wake-up call. Of the benefit we find as well, once again, especially for our youth here, who naively thought that one side of this spectrum, that one side of the political alliance would be for their benefit. Many of our youth were flirting with the progressive left. Many of our youth felt, oh, these are people, they advocate human rights, they advocate for peace and justice, and they were gravitating towards them. But now we see in this issue, who cares right and left? Who cares, Democrat and Republican? Our Congress just passed a bill, overwhelming majority, $14 billion of aid. Subhanallah, they want to aid the zalim against the madloom. They want to aid the one who's sending bombs against children, our taxpayers, right? This is something that our youth need to wake up. And I've said this right here before. We are Muslims. We're not Democrats. We're not Republicans. We're Muslims. We're neither right nor left. There is no long-term friendship with any of these groups. It is simply case by case, you know, benefit. That's it. There is no allyship. And in fact, the Quran tells us this. You know, these verses that some of our youth felt awkward about, these verses in the Quran, they say, this is not politically incorrect. We see now the verses, رَأْيَ الْعَيْنِ وَلَنْ تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَ حَتَّى تَتَّبِعْ مِلَّتَهُمْ. You're never going to find wilaya, allyship. Again, the verse means allies. Your allies, Allah says, إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah says, your allies, the ones who will always help you, Allah and the Messenger and the believers. These are your allies. I've said this multiple times. We are neither right nor left. We're neither progressive nor Republican, Democrat. No, we are Muslims and our identity is Islam. And this is something we see now in this reality that is taking place. Another benefit that we see here, another benefit is that it is a wake-up call for us, a wake-up call that subhanAllah, in front of our eyes, the first time in human history, we have mass genocide being broadcast live on everybody's phone. This is the first time, by the way. In Bosnia, it didn't happen. In Rwanda, it didn't. Genocide happened. There were no cell phones to upload video footage and show the world instantaneously. Even the very qawm that is doing this, when Hitler did what he did, the allies invaded, said, oh, we didn't know that Hitler was doing this. We didn't know. It's a surprise to us that all of these camps were there. They said they didn't know. Point is that this is the first time in human history where genocide is taking place and the world is watching and nobody is lifting a finger. Nobody can deny there's genocide, but the perpetrator says we have to do it because you are forcing us to kill your own children, as I said. Now, what is the benefit or the point here? Subhanallah, if this does not teach us that la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, that Allah is the only Mawla, that you cannot make your tawakkul in the makhluq. Where are the kings? Where are the muluk? Where are the governments? Where are the powerful figures? Everybody is silent. If this is not going to teach you that you cannot have tawakkul in any makhluq, you cannot put your trust in any being, your trust has to be in Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. Your heart has to be attached only to Him. This is a refinement of Iman. This is sifting through Iman. You cannot make ta'alluq, your heart attached to any makhluq. You're not going to find any good from the makhluq unless Allah wills it. However, in the past I've said we're seeing mass support. We're going to come back to this point here, so we'll make a distinction here. Yes, we rally for support. Yes, we want people to help, but we take the asbab and the heart is attached to Allah and not the asbab. This is a key point here. You know, as the Prophet said, tie your camel and then what? Trust in Allah. We will tie the camel. We will try to get people to influence. We will protest. We will write letters. We will. But our hearts cannot be attached to the means. Our hearts can only be attached to Allah. If this incident does not sift from us the reality that Allah is our Mawla and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to help us, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُتَوَكِّلُونَ, then nothing else is going to teach us this reality. Of the benefits we find in this debacle that is going on, of the benefit that we find, and again we get onto some of the asbab, because as I said, there's no contradiction. Understand this point. We rally for asbab. We rally for, you know, the causes, but our hearts are attached to Allah. Of the benefits we find, for the first time in the entire history of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, we have millions of people now supporting Palestine publicly. First time ever. Last week or last Saturday in DC, the largest mass protest since the Iraq invasion. Since the Iraq invasion, the largest protest took place against this genocide taking place here. Now, our politicians are on one side, but wallahi, this is positive that the people now, and you know, this is good and bad news both. It's both good and bad. Who was leading these protests? Who rallied these people? Which organizations brought up these, they say 300,000, Allahu alam, 350,000. Where did they come from? It's sad, but also good. We were not the primary instigators. It's sad because we should have been. We should have been at the forefront. And I did try my best in my own way, but I don't have a national organization. Khair, it is what it is. None of the national Muslim organizations were at the forefront. Yes, alhamdulillah, one or two, they invited to speak. But none of them, the Muslims, did not rally for this mass support. Now that's positive and negative. Why is it negative? Sad on us. Let's be honest here. Shame on us. We should have been at the forefront. We should be at the forefront. But why is it a positive? Why is it a positive? Because other people are clearly doing it. Even when we're not doing it, the main people behind this mass protest have nothing to do with Islam. The majority of organizations, more than 40 organizations came together, and there's two or three nominal Muslim organizations, 30 of them, 35 of them, nothing to do with religion, nothing to do with Islam. That is positive and negative, like I said. The positive, mashallah, alhamdulillah, people are seeing the truth. People are seeing the truth. Of course, the negative is shame on us. Being honest here, shame on us. We should have been more at the forefront. And I'm still trying, but I'm just one voice. I don't have an organization. I don't have a, you know, mass, you know, convention or whatever in this regard. But I feel that inshallah, the national organizations should, you know, try their best to still do another rally. Sadly, not enough Muslims participated. If you look at the people there, it's good they came, but where were all of us? We were not there because our own organizations were nominally represented. Khair, as I said, good and bad. So this is one of the positives that comes out. Of the positives that comes out is that the Palestinian brethren, our people in Gaza, they are forcing the conversation after 70 years. Never in the history of this conflict have now politicians, the United Nations Secretary General, famous people are saying, okay guys, whatever this group is, they're bad people, but how about the 2.2 million people of Gaza? You're not going to solve the problem of this group until you solve the problem of the people. First time ever we're hearing mainstream global voices say this reality. Again, this is a massive positive. And again, these types of changes, they take decades sometimes, but we're seeing the tide shift. And of the positives, I'm not going to conclude on this because there's so many more, we can go on and on. But for me, one of the biggest positives that I see globally is that, subhanAllah, single-handedly, our brothers and sisters in Gaza, they have inspired all of us to be proud of Islam. They have given all of us a sense of dignity. They have brought all of us to a sense of our primary identity, and that is the identity of Islam. Across the world, in Turkey, in Pakistan, in Bangladesh, in so many places, people are now listening, protesting, their hearts are attached. There is a global revival of Islam because of this issue, because of what we're seeing here. If this is not a positive, because of this incident, because of the zulm that is happening on this people, and the sabr with which they're responding to this aggression, they are inspiring tens of millions of Muslims around the world to be proud of their identity, to reconnect with their faith, to rekindle. Our own youth, mashallah, I'm seeing them as well, talking to them as well, and they realize their primary identity is that of Islam. Every other identity is secondary. Every other identity is behind this one. Our nation states, our ethnicities, all of this is secondary. Our primary identity, huwa sammakum al-muslimina min qablu, inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida. This one issue, it has reminded us we are one ummah. I want to tell you some good news today. Today, the ISD of Plano and Richardson, they had a meeting with a number of shuyukh and a number of community Muslim leaders only. And I was in that meeting. Both of these schools reached out to us and they're saying, what can we do to make our Muslim youth feel safe here? We want to make sure we are fair and balanced. We don't want to take sides. This is the first time this is happening. And they reached out to us and they're saying, tell us what we can do. We're not a political group. We are, and in fact, the one of them said, the main person said, we are against what the governor and what the main politician, the senator, has done. We want our schools to be neutral and safe for the Muslim community. What can we do? They literally asking, what can we do to make sure our Muslim youth feel that they are welcome here? And in fact, I even brought up this issue that the First Amendment, can they speak and whatnot? And I was told, yes, the First Amendment applies to our students as well. They have the right to protest. They have the right to walk out peacefully as long as they do it in the proper manner without disrupting classes. And they have the right to wear the Palestinian, you know, scarf and everything. That we will not infringe on their First Amendment right. Alhamdulillah, now the tide is changing here. And there is now support for this reality. So alhamdulillah, we find the izzah of Islam spreading. We find our youth rekindling that izzah. We find our own people feeling a sense of being a part of the ummah. And wallahi, if this were the only benefit, it would be enough. If this were the only benefit, that tens of millions of Muslims, their iman is rekindled. They see the shuja'ah, they see the iman, they see the sabr of the people of Gaza, and it makes them feel, my God, wow, look at these people. And because of that, they become more pious. They get a sense of identity. Subhanallah. It is as if Allah Azza wa Jal has used the most oppressed people on earth to remind us, even though we are not physically oppressed, perhaps spiritually, we are the ones who are covered up and they are the ones who are free. Perhaps spiritually, I'm not trying to insult anybody, wallahi, but think about it. Perhaps spiritually, they are the free people. They are the ones who are inspiring iman. And we are the ones, our iman is locked up, even though our bodies are free. We are the ones, we're not seeing the light. And they are the ones who inspired us. Wallahi, this is a blessing from Allah, even though it is painful for them. I'm not trying to, I'm not trying to, astaghfirullah, minimize that. But I'm saying, our iman teaches us, we look at the positives. And Allah says, you always look at it. And Allah says, it's possible you don't like something and there's going to come good out of it. This is our iman. Whatever is happening, our hearts are sad for what is happening and for those that have gone. but we have full trust in Allah that all of this negative, from it, there will come a positive, there will come a blessing, and we're seeing the beginnings of that blessing. And so I conclude with what I began with, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ إِن يَمْسَسْكُمْ قَرْحٌ فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْحٌ مِثْلُهُ وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. This is the reality. Do not give up. Do not become weak. You shall be. We shall be victorious. بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَجَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.
إن المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات والقانتين والقانتات والصادقين والصادقات والصابرين والصابرات والخاشعين والخاشعات والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيماً.